Yes, from the Nine Network, Denny Widler. Denny, good morning.
Morning, gents. Is Pup there?
I'm here, buddy.
Mate, why didn't you have a go at Buzz yesterday?
Oh, mate, because two wrongs don't make a right. You know that.
But don't worry, I'm bluing with him as well now.
Oh, are you? Tell us about your blue. What's going on?
Well, what have you done?
See, I picked up, there was a story which was saying that Latrell Mitchell's worth $2 million, $600,000 in marketing. And look, I want Latrell to make as much money as possible. But I just made the mention that a year ago, the same organisation, same people writing stories were saying that Latrell's a basically, a thug for what he did to Joey Manu. And, you know, he was unmarketable and terrible. And now he's the most marketable bloke in the world. And I was just calling out, you know, the change in opinion. And, I think that's a fair thing to say, that there's been a big sway in people's opinion. And I've sort of been of the view from the start that Latrell's the same person. And there is no way that he deliberately went to injure Joey Manu in that tackle. And yes, I still think he's worth a lot of money. If you say that, according to people like Buzz, well, you know, you're not allowed to have that opinion. So I'm just having my opinion, and Buzz doesn't agree.
Don't you dare have an opinion.
Buzz is backflip, That's all.
Shots fired.
Buzz had a crack at me, I'll have a crack at Buzz, that's all fine.
It's what we do.
Pop, I thought you would have gone a bit harder, mate. Look,
I'm not entitled to my opinion. I haven't played 45 Origins, so I'm just going to keep out of it. To me, the thing about Latrell, there's no doubt he's a superstar, and he's playing unbelievable footy at the moment. But did we forget quickly Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, Tommy T? Like, to me, I feel like at the moment we're carrying on like he's Sir Donald Bradman of cricket. He's that far above everybody else. Yet,
Puppy's the most charismatic player in the game.
He might be at the moment, but last year we spoke about Tommy T.
I'm talking about charisma and appeal, and I agree with Buzz in terms of the fact that he's very charismatic, very marketable, and he's got appeal. Like if he walks in, you know, with a bunch of other NRL players, the kids tend to gravitate towards him and Tommy. But he's just got a real something about him, and the way he's embraced, he's changed a fair bit since he's come back from America.
Yeah, well, he said that as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's embracing the media. He's actually, you know, doing more media stuff at the moment. And,
right.
He's got a contract with Fox Sports, and I think that's maybe part of why he's now getting more glowing reviews in certain sections of the media. That could be something
surely not
to do with it.
Surely not.
But you know, I think that he deserves every penny he can get because he's got a short career. It's, you know, 10 years or so, and I think he deserves everything he can get, and he is a happy, firing Latrell is box office watchable.
Why is there so much conversation, or if there's any beef around how much money a player gets? Like, to me, I know there's a salary cap, I understand that, so there's only so much you can get on the field, but if a player, there wouldn't be too many of the top 10 players in the game not getting little bonuses off the field anyway. Whether it's a car contract, okay, they mightn't get any money, but instead of going and buying a car for $150,000, they're getting a free car for the 2 years they're at the club, or, you know, a shoe deal, or, like, surely there's, tell me one of the top 10 players that's not getting the little perks that come with being the best in the game.
And they deserve it, but it's hard to
earn
another 600 in third parties. Loz, I mean, you lived through Super League, you're a professional player, and I'm sure you had good endorsements going, but to earn 600, you've got to also service that 600.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, turning up for sponsors and doing things, and on top of a professional career, which is highly, it requires a lot of time. It's very demanding. I think that.
And you know the other thing with that, Denny, there's only a few players that can actually endorse products legitimately, I reckon.
When you're with Nike, Loz,
yep.
was it a big deal, or was it just?
It was a reasonable size deal given the where rugby league was in terms of off field. You know, I don't think there was a lot of players. ET and Junior probably were the most marketable players around that time, and they started to do deals off the field. And I think after that, then it slowly started to take effect where other players were getting deals.
Mm.
So for me, yeah, Nike was a good, well, it was a good one for me. But again, you had to earn your money. It just wasn't given to you, that money. It wasn't just there's your boots and we're going to give you some money just to wear them. You had to do other things for them. So, and again, that's where people get a little bit confused, I think, with what you're getting paid by third parties and what you actually do with it.
Laurie, I think it'd be hard to earn $600K outside of your football career. I mean, the players who have, you know, who are going to earn the most are the Luttrells, the James Tedesco, Tommy T, maybe a Cameron Munster, although he's had some off-field issues. And I think someone like Nathan Cleary is, you know, they're the most marketable guys in the game, and they can make the extra money just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones.
Cam Murray would be another one.
Cam Murray, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, good luck to them.
100%.
I would never begrudge anyone earning extra money. I mean, that's what they're professional athletes, and they should make every cent they possibly can. Look at the way Paul Gallen's changed his career now. Like, boxing was a sidelight for him. He's making big dollars now outside of his sport, but he probably didn't make the huge money when he was playing. So these guys have got to make the money now through either their endorsements or obviously their contracts. But you know, I'd love to see him make more, to be perfectly honest with you.
I think they deserve more.
Yeah,
it's a hard game, and you look and see what, you know, some players at the end of their careers look like, and you know, to be perfectly fair, even watching Mario Fenech on television the other night, I mean, that was sad to see Mario in such a state. And it's a tough game. It's a tough, brutal game, and it's getting harder and harder. And I believe that players should be paid whatever they can get.
And back to on the field with Luttrell now. I mean, like, you know, he probably didn't have his best game last week, and South still were dominant. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see this grand final rematch. He didn't get the chance to make his mark last year because of the Manu stuff. I think the year before he might have had a hammy as well. And so I think this is a time for him to absolutely shine and show the game that he is tremendous, and why he should be one of the very top players, and he will be on $1 million a year with South, provided that deal gets done, and he will get the chance to show exactly why against the machine that is Penrith. I don't know how anyone stops them, but I think that if anyone can stop them, it's through Luttrell.
You got to hope that they don't bring their best if you're going to beat Penrith, and you're going to have to make sure that Luttrell's on his game. And they're just a wonderful side, Penrith. They've proven that over the last couple of years, and they look mighty hard to beat for this year. But you just never know, do you? It's an 80-minute performance.
I was out with them, the Penrith boys, yesterday, and I talked to about half a dozen of them, including Nathan. And look, they've just got this real steel about them, and real calmness. And I just feel like they know what they have to do. They just know what they have to do. They've got a couple of little concerns, you know, with Caelan May, obviously. But I mean, apart from that, they look lean, mean, and hungry, and they want to do this again. And there's the attitudes there.
I saw you talking last night on Nine News with Viliami Kickout about that TikTok video that he did last year. Do you think? Well, I'm assuming South will use that, but would they be worried about that at all? You know, Kickow and, you know, the coaching group. And would they mention that, do you think? Or that's just, don't even worry about it. We're not going there.
I asked Billy to sing the song for me again.
Ooh, ouch.
He didn't want to sing it. Look, Billy knows he did wrong. And he knows he's definitely given South some ammo. They haven't forgotten that. I know it's only probably in the broad scheme of things, it's something that the media like to talk about.
Yeah.
And we like to focus on, and you know what, looking at it a year later, it's a bit funny, and you know, but I don't think the Souths fans see it as funny. And I think the players will talk about it. But Kikau is the weapon for Penrith. He's almost the Latrell for Penrith in a lot of ways, isn't he? But the impact he has on a game, he's been unbelievable this year. He says he's cut out, he used to have Maccas and KFC three times a week earlier in his career. He's cut that out. He has the occasional cheat meal now, but he's realising what it takes to become a professional footballer. And Laurie, I'm not sure I know you watch it very closely, but I think that the good judges say to me that he's now probably the best defensive second rower in the comp as well. That his defence has improved remarkably, and that's something he's really worked on. And that's going to be interesting to see the way he monitors the South Sydney players.
You're saying he's the best back rower?
That's
a big call. I think he's improved out of sight.
Defensively?
Yeah, I think he's improved out of sight. There's no argument. I mean, really, it comes down to what you see in a back rower and how they defend and how they work with the man on his inside and outside as well. Mm. It just doesn't come down to at times with what your technique's like and how you wrap someone up. It's about how you defend. I always remember Tim Sheens always used to say, you can be a good tackler, but that doesn't make you a good defender.
Well, apparently that's what the people, I'm not saying it, but what people have explained to me who know the game better than me, they say, look, you watch his defence now. It is the high point of his game, and he's a weapon also in attack as well. And the other interesting thing with when I was out at Penrith, I think that they watched pretty closely how Ronaldo Molitano had a bit of success in the air against us. And I know that Cronulla didn't win and didn't really threaten, but that's where they looked most dangerous. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Stephen Crichton, really launched as an aerial weapon against South. So that's another thing to look at.
I don't know how South wingers cope with Nathan Cleary's bombs. Mm. I just don't know how they do it. I mean, other than putting pressure on Nathan.
That's the key.
Yeah, that is the key, but it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Well, him and Matt Burton are obviously the best.
Yeah, no, they are. What about in your column on Sunday, Denny, and I was sort of taken aback with this. We talk about concussions in the game and we talk about player safety. And did you say something like doctors assess their patient over Zoom?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. I mean, I put that to the NRL. I said, listen, I've been told that, just say Mitchell Moses, for example, the independent doctor will have a Zoom hookup with him. I mean, obviously they've got their club doctors, but you would think, I don't know, given, like you mentioned, the Mario thing, and given the focus on concussions and all, I would have thought that there has to be a consultation face-to-face. I mean, I know we can do the health thing over the phone, can't we? I mean, but, we're not, I don't think we're generally dealing with concussions on a weekly basis. And I would have thought it requires more than a Zoom, hook up with a player to say, hey, how are you feeling? I mean, I don't know. That leaves me a little bit concerned about the level, the incomplete level of thoroughness that's going through these processes.
Now, on the Vanquished, the Sharks season, was it a success or not, do you think, Danny?
I think so. I think that Craig Fitzgibbon would have been gutted straight sets, right? Look, Johnny Morris, don't forget, he was sacked from Cronulla for not being able to get results at the back end of the year. And Fitzy did really well to get Cronulla to the point where they were so high up on the premiership table. But their exit was not great. I mean, the way they lost at the end to the Cowboys, so hard to take. And their performance on the weekend just wasn't up to it. So I think they'll consider it a pretty good season. The criticism throughout the year of Cronulla was, maybe they had an easier draw, which is, I think that's been quite widely accepted. So I think that it's a strong season, a good start for Craig Fitzgibbon, but not an outstanding one, particularly with the way they finished. So I think Fitzy will have learnt a lot from that exit, and I know for a fact he's taken it to heart. That's hurt him big time.
Geez, we mark him hard, Danny, the coaches, and no harder than Brad Arthur, mate. Surely he's safe, win, lose or draw.
You'd think so.
God.
There's obviously a set against Brad Arthur. You've seen...
Why? Why, though?
I actually think Brad Arthur's done a pretty good job, but I think that the reason it's there is because they haven't won a comp. Simple as that. They feel like they've had the resources, the roster, particularly this year. This is their year, pup.
Yeah, I get that. I get the expectation, and I actually think Brad's handled the criticism very well. I think he hasn't shied away from it. He said, "Yep, there is expectation, there is pressure, and there's no doubt he wants to win the GF." But if I think of my team, the Tigers, if our record was what Parramatta's has been in the last 10 years, I'd be doing backflips.
You'd be taking half the record.
Mate, I'd be so, like, I just worry we always think the grass is greener.
Yeah, look, when there are some pretty significant figures in the media who aren't on your side, and, you know, this is coming up at semi-final time, and there's leaked reports about junior pathways, and they're being interpreted as, impacting on the senior team. It just doesn't feel great for Brad. I think he silences everything if he gets him to the grand final, in my view. I actually would have thought that would have dropped off now. But I guess if he gets him to the grand final, maybe that's his pass mark. You know, I don't know.
Danny, big week. Enjoy, mate. Thank you.
Pup, I expect some strong performances from you. I'm listening closely, particularly at 5:30 in the morning.
Good on you, mate.
Put your seatbelt on.
See ya. Bye.
See you, buddy.
Denny Widler there. Just on that travel exception.
My new neighbour, Middo.
Yeah, well, Chicken.
Well, what about this?
Chicken Chow's text in about this.
What's he said?
Chicken goes, how's my new neighbour going, Middo? Widler's new place is a pitching wedge from my joint.
Oh, no. Denny's in deep trouble.
Takes
the chicken. He'll be out the front standing beside the letterbox. Don't worry about that. Checking his mail.
Now, just on, people travelling around for grand finals, etc. A couple of texts here. Boys, my partner's dad lives in Sydney, but works away in Townsville. He's coming back today for a week and has delayed his flight to the Tuesday next week instead of the Monday because there were over... $1,000 difference one way purely because of the footy being on the weekend. Cheers, James.
Yeah, that's too expensive, isn't it, Mitter?
What about this one?
Price gouging.
Oh, morning, boys. I had an Airbnb booked in the heart of Melbourne City back in January for $60 a night, only for it to be cancelled on me in August, obviously due to the owner realising it was the grand final weekend. I then had to madly rush to find alternative accommodation, which I got for more than twice the price, says Michael from Port Macquarie. We're getting ripped off.
Oh, we are, Mido. We are getting ripped off. Hey, what about this has just come in, and this has got no name to it, but this is a great stat, if you like your stats, all right? Did you know South in their last four prelim finals, 18, 19, 20 and 21, they've gone into the game without their regular fullback? So they've gone in Alex Johnson, then Adam Dewey, then Corey Allen, and then Blake Taff. So they've got their regular number one available this week in Latrell Mitchell, arguably the best player in the game. Some people would have him as the best player in the game and the influence that he has on this South Sydney team. And some people will say that number one now has more influence on a game than ever before and is rivaling a seven as the most influential position in a footy team. So with Latrell being back in the team...
Good start.
Yeah.
Good start.
There might be a hope.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. And yesterday, by the way, Aussie golfer Cam Smith, he collected his biggest winner's check yet. $6 million Australian, $4 million US for winning that Live Tour event in Chicago. So it's the 29-year-old's first triumph since the British Open. And the Aussie said after that he thought he still had to prove to himself and some others that he's still a great player and he's still here to win.
Of course he's a great player. He's still playing against some of the best golfers in the world. He's just playing in a different tournament to some of the others. And, you know, this is what I can't understand. If people are in Cam Smith's position and they were offered that type of money, of course they're going to go and sign and go and play on another tour. And look at the prize money that he's received in the two events.
Yeah. Berubini, already. The initial thought was the criticism, or those taking the glass half empty approach, is he will lose motivation. He'll lose hunger. He'll lose desire.
Yeah, but do you reckon golfers really want to play till they're 40, 45? Like, yes, you can love the sport, but if you can play less tournaments, you'll still be competitive. If you've been at that level, you'll want to be competitive for as long as you want, but you've got the option then of pulling back. You don't have to play in every tournament, and there's less tournaments for Liv. Look, what I think will happen is the two groups have to come together. Because the Liv's not going away, and they've got deep pockets.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson's even urged it in the last few days as well, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later, although there is a lot of animosity between the camps.
Oh, I know there is, but I mean...
Once you've competed at a certain level, I could go back and play a game of club cricket now, a game of third-grade club cricket. I'm not walking out there to lose. I'm not walking out there to make 20. It's in your blood. If Cameron Smith picks up a golf club, he does not want to finish second. I don't care if it's Masters. I don't care if it's Live. I don't care if it's the biggest tournament on the planet. He wants to win. That's in his blood. You don't lose that because you paid more money. If anything, probably within, you feel like you've got to do it more to continue to show people that that's still there, no matter how much money you're getting paid.
Hmm. Did you see the Denny Willett three-putt? From less than 4 feet. I mentioned it right at the end of the show yesterday, so he had an absolute meltdown. Max Homer chipped in for birdie. That's in the PGA Tour event. He chipped in. Still, Denny Willett, well, he missed a four-footer, which would have won it. Then he missed another four-footer, so therefore couldn't even go to the playoff. And so there's hope for us all anyway. And joining us now on the line... as we talk again, rugby league ahead of the preliminary final, particularly as far as the Panthers are concerned. Joining us now is their chief executive, Brian Fletcher. Brian, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen.
Great to have you on the show, mate. And you're in charge of a club exhibiting great success through the grades as well. And why is Penrith different then, Brian?
I don't know, Jared, why they're different. We've got the right people in the right positions in the place. We've got very good players, very good coaches, and very good football managers. So our general manager of football, Matt Cameron, he's regarded as the genius in the pathways. And the success we've had this year in that field, it just shows that he is a genius at it. Because to win the SG ball, that's over. We've won the grand final there. Now to have a team in the flag of the reserve grade, and one win away from the grand final in the NRL with a bit of luck. So it's history at the club. It's never been done before. It might never have been done in the NRL. I don't know. But we're in a very lucky position at the moment.
Describe the impact that your NRL side in particular is having on that community in Penrith and the region.
Yeah. Well, look, it's enormous. It's the whole focus of the city of Penrith. There's 300,000 people live in Penrith, and... I think sometimes if they get beat on a Sunday, they don't go to work on a Monday. It knocks them around that much. And they've been a bit spoiled over the last 3 years because they haven't lost many games. So hopefully that we can do the job for all the members and the people of Penrith on Saturday night.
Brian, we're just talking about Cameron Smith and his desire to, no matter how much he gets paid, to want to keep winning. And you just mentioned the last 3 years for the club. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but surely that desire this year is no less than last year or the year before. All the work that goes in over a long period of time. Fortunately, you get to a place now where you have built that consistency. Surely you want this GF.
Oh, for sure, Michael, and especially last year when it was played in Queensland, these boys were motivated this year to do it in front of their own fans. And, it's one thing. You never get away from winning. Once you start winning and you get the taste of it, there's nothing worse than going back to losing. So They're in the right frame of mind, and they'll be up for Saturday night.
Brian, you've spoken about the last 3 years and how successful it's been, but what do you see the difference between this side now compared to when they first came together?
I think, Laurie, I think it's the culture in the place is the biggest thing that Ivan's instilled in the place, is to have the right culture and have them living like a family. When they went to Queensland over the COVID period with the wives and children moved up there, they became a big family and everybody got on so well.
Yeah.
And that improved the culture as well, and that's something that Ivan really strives for. And he's got that at our place now, and if that continues, I'm sure these young boys will have success for a long time.
Brian, will Penrith have underachieved, though, if they don't win the premiership, considering, and I mean this, considering the dominance you've had over this three-year period in your NRL side?
No, no. They've done a marvellous job to get to where they are. And you've got to realise, last year in the grand final, they played with seven injured players. This year we're going into the major semi-final with one player out, Taylan May. So physically they're in a lot better position, and hopefully they've achieved to the best of their ability, and you need a bit of luck on the night as well. So, no, they've done a great job.
Brian, we talk about the community out there, and I think Penrith have always had amazing juniors. I'm keen to know the impact of not just the growth out at Penrith, but also the impact of the players, what they have on the younger generation, the young boys, the young girls. What does footy look like from a young age out there at the moment?
Michael, out at this stage, when you've got Jerome Luai, Nathan Cleary and Brian Toa, you'd be surprised how many people on the northern beaches now follow Panthers because of these models and road. They stay out on the field for an extra hour and so forth and sign autographs and that, and they've got a big bearing on it. And at the moment, we've got 8,760 junior players, and of that, there's 7,500 male and 1,200 female players in our junior rugby league, and there's 588 teams. So starting back at that structure and getting that part of it right to Panthers juniors, it flows on to the SG ball, the flag, the reserve grade and the NRL. So it's a pretty good system at the moment, and as long as we stick to that and don't try and change it.
You mentioned the girls that play football out that way, Fletch. Any update on when you're maybe looking at getting a team into the NRLW?
No, Laurie, we've applied for one in 2024. Now, we've had no indication whether we'll be given permission for that or not at this stage, but we're striving to get into that space as well.
We're speaking with Penrith Panthers Chief Executive Brian Fletcher. And Brian, are you still confident the state government will support a new stadium for the club?
Yes, for sure, Jared. Yeah, that's not... The $300 million been passed through Cabinet. It's just a matter of now of Infrastructure New South Wales looking at where is the best position in Penrith to build a stadium. And we've heard no further than that at this stage.
And just in other wider issues, is there any progress in, you know, pushing for concessions for the club for developing your own players, I guess in regards to salary cap, etc.?
Look, that's been spoken about and Laurie no more than me for the last 20 years, and nobody could come up with a system that suits everybody. And I suppose, yes, we'd like compensation, but when you look at that, you'd probably say, well, why do they need compensation? You know, there have been minor premiers again this year by a fair stretch. So with Matt Burton going last year after we sort of progressed Matt through the grades. So it's a difficult one. Yes, we'd love compensation, but it's not the end of the world.
And when do you expect to know the new salary cap? Because I'm guessing this is getting towards a period of urgency, isn't it?
Well, salary cap's getting to a stage where it's getting a little bit heated now. We've got three parties to split up all the money, and it's the NRL, the players and the clubs. And I've always believed in life there's enough money for everybody, and one party doesn't need a lot. So I think if we're all fair-minded, it won't be far away, probably after the grand final.
Will you outnumber the South Sydney supporters on Saturday night, mate?
We'll give them a good shake.
Should be a wonderful game. It should be a wonderful game. Obviously, South Sydney have won their first two finals. But actually, I want to ask you, Fletch, too, because it is a different preparation to what you went through last year. I'm assuming you prefer this one, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're at home. And We've got our academy at the back where they train it and everything like that. So, no, they're in a lot better space this year physically and mentally because they're at home. So they're ready for the occasion.
I can tell out of the four of us, two have winners at Flemington. You're obviously one, Lots.
Yeah.
And so's Fletch. His Scalapini won recently there at Flemington.
Oh, really?
Great win, Fletch.
Yeah, it was a nice win, wasn't it? He won nicely, and a few of the boys had a few dollars on him, and they followed up with Waterford in the last at Rose Hill on the same day. So it was a pretty good.
I was going to say, you're in Waterford too, aren't you?
Yeah, got a little share in that, Laurie.
Yeah. A mate of mine in it as well, Alan Stevenson.
How easy is ownership? Seriously. You lot.
Very good horse. Really good horse.
Well, we appreciate your time as always, Brian. Hope it's a very successful last couple of weeks for your sake and your fans at the club there at Penrith.
Thanks, boys.
Love this text, Mitch from Robertson. Fellas, does Chicken Chow live in a cardboard box near all these rich blokes, or is he flying?
He's flying the chicken. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
And also on the text line, this is the stat, Parramatta fans. This is the one that's going to take you to glory. Morning, guys. In 1986, the number one movie was Top Gun, and Para won the premiership. 2022, Top Gun Maverick is the number one movie. Could it happen again? No names.
Cling
that
on
one.
To anything you can.
Yeah. I've got to get the hoots to watch Top Gun too. Oh, I still haven't seen it yet.
Mate, it's a beauty, Loz.
I can't believe.
Have you watched Elvis?
No, I haven't seen Elvis either.
Mate, those two you must watch. They're brilliant.
I've heard mixed reviews about Elvis.
Nah, I loved it.
Is it good?
No, yeah, I love The King.
Yeah.
There's plenty of good movies coming up. I've just got to get myself out middle.
Long weekend. Go and see Top Gun Long Weekend. Is it still on, actually, at the movies?
Yeah, it'll be still on.
Does Stanley know your Top Gun story? I've got a feeling you was away that week.
I don't know.
DS Morning.
Yeah, morning, Mino. Morning, boys. I don't know the Top Gun story. I haven't seen it either.
Go and see it, DS.
Actually, blasphemy, I haven't seen the first
one. Well, be
either.
Careful, DS.
You haven't seen the first one. Well, Loz can help you with that.
Yeah, I went to Hoyt's on Father's Day.
Yes.
And walked so in, and we thought we were sitting, watching Top Gun 2, and we jump in there, and there's no one in the movie theatre. No one in the movie theatre. Anyhow, the movie sort of starts, and we're sitting there thinking, oh, this looks familiar, but where's it going? And then we thought it must be, starting and giving us a bit of a look at Top Gun 1 and then transfer straight into Top Gun 2.
Right.
But it was a double session of Top Gun 1 leading into Top Gun 2. We didn't read the ticket properly. So we bought tickets to Top Gun 1 and 2. But I couldn't stay and watch Top Gun 2 because I had to go home and watch the footy, and then I had to go into the Matty John show. So I left.
Ah, so you've left. So you'd seen Top Gun 1, though, before that?
I'd seen Top Gun 1 before, but I wanted to see Top Gun 2. And because we were already there at the picture theatre, I thought, well, we might as well stay and watch it. But I'll tell you what, the seats were outstanding.
They were good seats.
Mate, they reclined.
Oh. So
but how long?
What?
How long have they had them?
What did you just say? They reclined.
They reclined.
Oh, how good. That's the bit of the old man coming out in there, Loz, going, geez.
Mate, I like playing with buttons, you know, and when you find,
seriously,
I was like, oh, yeah, how good is this? And then I'm sort of lying back, and then I had a bit of a snooze and... Well, mate, I'm telling you, get the Hoyts. It's sensational. The new seating. And I don't pay for the gold class. What is it?
I
just bought normal tickets. But I'm telling you, the seats in the normal section now are sensational.
When was the last time we went to the movies? Like, did they have
1986?
Would have been
black and white.
Four or five. Yeah.
At
the Jada Centre.
Now that would have been Loz as a young bloke growing up. If you were taking a girl out on a date or something, was the movie because they were quite expensive, weren't they, back in the day to go to the movies? Wasn't it?
When you're one of eight, it was expensive. Very
That's
expensive.
Why you went to drive-ins. Eight in one car.
Yeah.
That's right.
get them out of the boot when you get in there. Oh yeah, done that before. Done the boot.
All I can think of is Homer going bed goes up. flatbed girl.
I was telling you, I was trying my... Because Michelle goes to me, stop it. And I said, what? Because I do.
Stop pressing my buttons.
Yeah.
What do you like in a hospital?
Each their own, but I'm just telling you what I do.
Probably shuts the
door. Everyone
down.
Doesn't have to do what I do, but that's what I do.
All I do is press buttons.
I love pressing buttons. It's like when you're a kid and you jump in an elevator and you just kept pressing.
You're pressing the all the buttons.
Oh, yeah. You're that guy.
Pressing all the buttons.
That kid.
I'm one of that.
Oh.
Yeah, that's me.
Boys, just while you're on the movies, yeah, I can agree with you there, Pup, about Elvis. Didn't mind Elvis. Good little film. The other one, too, boys, I've been told about is Ticket to Paradise.
Who's in that?
Well, it's the two big guns. It's Clooney and Roberts. They're back together. I've seen
that advertised.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Were they married or something in the film, and then they split?
Yeah, there's some sort of story,
some relationship,
or something.
Shot here in Australia?
It was up at Hamilton Island, I think. That was around COVID when Queensland was open and they were doing all.
So the reviews on that is pretty good, Dave. Aren't
pretty good. Well, I'm a rom com. I mean, you boys, I like watching rom-coms.
What's rom-com?
Romance and comedy.
Rom-com?
That's what it's called. Rom-com.
Yeah, romantic comedy. Then I understand. Rom-com.
Well, that's what I mean. But that's the... Because I can't understand, like, people when they go to films and watch, like, scary films. Like, I can't get my head around why you would want to go and have the...
But what about when you watch a scary film and you don't watch it?
Well, that's what I mean. I don't understand. And people go, I went and watched this film and it was the scariest thing I've seen. Why would you want to go and watch a movie about Clooney and Roberts? Good.
Just mix it up a bit. A scary one every now and then is good.
Nah,
just on the couch trying to get a bit of a cuddle, you know?
I'm scarred. Remember that movie, Final Destination? Is it Final Destination? Or what was the one where...
It was the one with Chucky. It is Chucky.
Child's
little one.
Child's Play.
Yeah, that's not good.
See, that's what I mean. Awful.
Scary
Why
doll.
Why would you want to go and watch that?
Yep.
Why would you want to go and watch
that? The doll
that
stabs people.
Honestly.
What a cracker flick.
Speaking of scary movies, how did we go on the punt on the weekend, boys? It seemed like...
Lozdy, well, he's got $10.50.
$10.50 in my account.
$10.50. So you've had a horror. You've had a horror show, mate.
Yeah.
What did you chime into? What was the big one you chimed into, Loz, on the weekend?
I will tell you, Dave, because it was in the last in Sydney, and a Godolphin horse won. And I'm just trying to think of the name of it, and I'm just trying to look it up, what I chimed into.
Ingratiating.
It won.
Was the last in Sydney.
Yeah,
it
won.
Last in Sydney.
Yeah. But who ran second in that?
Oh, is it Brigantine? Was it Brigantine?
Oh, Brigantine.
No, Brigantine won.
Yeah, Brigantine.
Brigantine
won in Melbourne.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, I was against Brigantine. Oh. And I got a text message to back Brigantine.
No, there's nothing worse. Well, boys, today on the program, co-host is Luke Marler. We've got Gary Portelli. Obviously, Gold Rose this weekend at Rose Hill. It is the race in which it'll shape plenty of these careers for these three-year-olds. And will it be Godolphin and In Secret and Golden Mile, or will Fireburn, who I didn't mind the first up run. I thought she was pretty good there in the run of the row. So we'll chat with Gaz pretty soon. Richard Callender will join us. Mick Price, Peter Snowden, Gerald Ryan. All about the Golden Rose this morning and trying to find a winner. Have a good day, boys. Go and enjoy Top Gun 2. Actually, just go and watch that Ticket to Paradise, boys. Go to get to Hoyts this afternoon, Loz.
Yeah, I might, actually.
Get in that flash chair that reclines.
Mate, I'm telling you, the chairs are flash.
Watch your rom-coms.
Go and watch rom-coms.
That's
got
to change.
Take Michelle to watch the rom-com this summer.
I might get home and say, listen, Dahl, I want to take you to the rom-com. What is she going to think?
Oh, I reckon she'd know. She'd go, yeah, I'll go and see that.
Right. The rom-com. I've never
You know what I've just got a vision of, Loz? Uh-huh. I've got a vision of you just snoring in this chair beside Michelle while the movie's on.
I just can't get Homer out of my head.
Have a good day, boys. Go and enjoy yourself.
See you, buddy.